Good afternoon. Once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is where we're going to find our text this afternoon. I do want to do just a little bit of house cleaning from the message this morning. It's good to have some conversations, try to figure out what people heard, and sometimes what I have in my head is hard to communicate, doesn't always come out the way I intend. So you might have felt like some of the things are contradictory, like sometimes it's actually okay to be dishonest, and then other times you tell the truth no matter what the consequences are. That may seem confusing to you, and rightly so. At the end of the day, you and I have to be led of the Spirit of God. And if God's heart convicts you, like, you can't even be a little deceiving to try to pull off a surprise birthday party, then you shouldn't do that if you have conviction about that. But here's what we're going to say. I believe the Bible is clear that if you are being dishonest to protect somebody else's life, that not only is that permissible, it's actually a good thing. Okay? If you're hiding somebody from the Nazis, that's good. If you're hiding the Hebrew spies from the soldiers at Jericho, that's good. Okay. On the other hand, I talked about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I said at the end of the message that you ought to tell the truth no matter what the consequences are. What I mean by that is, you preach the gospel even if it costs you your life. So now I'm not trying to protect somebody else's life. Now I've got my life on the line. And if it means to risk jail time or even death to preach the truth about Jesus, then you preach the truth about Jesus no matter what the consequences are. And those are the kind of things that we have to wrestle through. I know some of us grew up with everything that just black and white. And some of you are young and in your 20s and you know everything. When I was in my 20s, Brother Tom, I knew everything. I got a little bit older and I figured out I don't know anything. Still don't. So I think that it's good for us to wrestle through these things and have those questions and try to figure those things out. At the end of the service this afternoon, we'll have more opportunity for Q&A if you have other things, and we'll talk about that. But I really want to get back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So if you can find your place there. If memory serves, and occasionally it does, we ended on verse 28 last time. So we're going to pick up at verse 27 to get our context. We're going to move on with verses 29 to the end of the chapter, if the Lord allows. So if you're able, let's stand together. I'm going to pray as we open God's word and ask him to speak to us this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful day, for the opportunity together. Lord, I pray that you'll be with those who are not with us today for many different reasons. We pray for grace for those who are traveling, bless them. We pray for healing for those who are sick. We pray for direction for those who are searching for your way. And I thank you, God, for the work of your Holy Spirit in lives and hearts this morning, for decisions made for Christ. And I pray that you'll continue to move, continue to work, continue to bless, and that you'll help us. Lord, we are nothing without you. We can't do anything without you. So we pray for your help. I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me this afternoon. Speak to our hearts, guide us into all truth, and may our lives, our marriages, our families, in whatever condition, state that we're in, always, always give you honor and glory. Forgive and help, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 27. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. Amen. Please be seated. So just to kind of recap where we ended last time, we want to get clarifications about those that are bound or loosed. Those who are married or divorced is what we're talking about here. And he says, if you're married, then don't try to get divorced. If you've been divorced, then don't seek a wife. But, and if you marry, you have not sinned. And if you've never been married before, a virgin, then you get married, you have not sinned. But he gives a warning. Nevertheless, if you get married, you're going to have trouble. But I spare you. What does that mean? It means that there are unique series and circumstances of trouble that come from marriage that aren't there in single life. And that's so true, and anybody who's married or have been married understands that. When you bring two people together, you got two people's problems that come together. And it comes with its own host of issues. But again, remember, He starts this whole chapter off telling us that some people are gifted to singleness, and that's a blessing from God. And some people are blessed to get married, and that's a blessing from God. Amen. Also want to keep it in the context. The church at Corinth was going through a lot of turmoil and trouble in the time that they were in that day. And there was certainly good reason to stay single if you were single at that time, just for the conditions that were going on in the world around you. And so we got to keep it in the context too. I just know this. Both things are true. If you've been gifted to singleness, it is a blessing from God to stay single. I also know that it's true that he who finds a wife finds a good thing.
Amen.
They're both true. So which way is it? Well, it's the way God intends for you. Well, how do I know? Well, you better pray about that a lot.
Amen.
If you're single and you aren't married yet and you're thinking about getting married someday, you ought to pray and pray and pray about who to marry, when to marry, if to marry.
Amen.
We want God to be involved in all of that.
Amen.
So the warning is marriage is going to bring worldly trouble, extra cares, extra burdens, extra responsibilities. But he's not saying it's a bad thing to get married. He's just reminding them, you got to count the cost. You got to count the cost of anything that you do.
Amen.
And understand that there's going to be difficulty. Both conditions are good, single or married, and both carry burdens. So marriage is not a sin, but it's not going to deliver you from the trials and troubles of life either.
Amen.
A lot of young people think that if I could just get married, then everything would be better. Like, marriage is going to be the salvation of the condition of your life. And it isn't. It isn't. I know you guys watch your Hallmark movies, and it always, marriage is like the answer to it all. Okay? But life isn't Disney. Life isn't Hallmark. Life's not even Great American Country Family TV. Life is real life. And both are going to have troubles. And that's all Paul's trying to tell you. Okay. Let's go into verse 29 to 31. Verse 29 to 31. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, they that weep as though they wept not, they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion or form of this world passes away.
Amen.
What's the point? Time is short. All of your life, including marriage, needs to be lived with eternity in view. This time on earth is short. And you guys all remember the verse, our life is like a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And we remember that and we understand that, but he's trying to remind us that in marriage and in mourning or sadness, in our rejoicing, in our possessions, in everything that is in this world that you can use in this world is temporary. None of it lasts forever. Everything you own is going to be burned up one day. Everything that you enjoy in this life is going to pass away one day. Everything you're sad about in this life is going to pass away one day. And remember, your marriage is not for eternity. Your marriage is for life. In the resurrection, we're not given in marriage. The marriage is something that is for here and now. It's not for eternity. I know some of you probably have a lot of questions about that. You have a hard time understanding that. How could it be that we would have this marriage covenant that's forever, and then when we get to heaven, it's not there anymore? I don't understand all of that myself. I just know this. Jesus said that's not what it's going to be like in eternity. What does that mean? We won't love each other? Oh, I don't think that at all. I think our love will be perfected. I think it'll be better than it ever was here.
Right.
But those relationships are going to be different in heaven than they are now. The purpose is that God gave us marriage for our companionship and for helping one another and for making babies in this world and carrying on, multiplying, all those things that we do in this life that's not needed in heaven.
Amen.
Companionship's going to be perfect. Jesus has fulfilled all of our help ultimately forever. And there's no need to reproduce, to multiply in heaven. So all of those things are going to be done away. It's just going to be different. And he's just reminding them that time is short, so don't focus on the here and now. And I can almost hear that admonition to young people. The idea that people think that if I could just get married, if I could just find a spouse, then everything's going to be better. That will fulfill my life. Friend, if you don't find fulfillment in Jesus, you're not going to find fulfillment anywhere.
Amen.
Christians should not idolize marriage and Christians should not idolize singleness. In Paul's day, it's not so much a problem in our society today, but in Paul's day, singleness was elevated. These people who really had a burden, really had a passion, really had a desire to be married, would not get married, and they would put themselves in a lot of temptation and trials that they didn't need to because they felt like they couldn't get married, like marriage was a bad thing in some way. And Paul's trying to say to them, like, listen, it's neither one is bad. That's not the answer to your life. Remember that Jesus is coming again, and our time is short. So find your satisfaction in Jesus. Be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And rejoice. If you're single, live for Jesus in your singleness. And if you're married, rejoice in your marriage and live for Jesus in your marriage.
Amen. Amen.
Verse 32 to 35. There are advantages to singleness. He says, but I would have you without carefulness or concern. He that is married cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife, if he knows what's good for him. There is a difference also between the wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy in body and spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. In this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So what's Paul saying here? There are advantages of singleness. An unmarried person can serve the Lord and focus on serving and pleasing the Lord alone. He doesn't have to worry about pleasing God and his wife. He can just focus on pleasing God. And a young lady who's not married doesn't have to worry about pleasing the Lord and her husband. She can just focus on single-mindedly focus, with laser focus on pleasing the Lord. But I want you to get this. He says, I'm not trying to cast a snare on you. What's that mean? Well, he's saying, those of you who are single, but you have a burning desire to be married, I'm not telling you that you can't get married. I'm not trying to set you up for sin. I'm just telling you that there are advantages to being single, and that would be a singleness of mind and a focus. I want to say this too. God works in our lives at different stages in different ways, and it may be for a young person he has you in singleness for a time. It may be for someone who has been divorced justifiably according to the scriptures, or your spouse has passed away, that he allows you to be single for a time and then later opens the door up to marriage. You can't just put people in a box.
Amen.
God has a will for people's lives, and they have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
According to the Word of God. Not just what you want when you want, but according to God's word. So there are advantages to singleness. And you know it's true, guys. Like, this is practical, isn't it? If you're married, I think sometimes you read this, it sounds like it's a bad thing. Are you poor married people always trying to do something for your husband or your wife? All you spouses always caring about what's good for your wife or your husband? No, that's a good thing. Paul's not saying it's a bad thing, it's just the reality. That if you're married, fellas, you have to care for your wife.
Amen.
And for the Lord.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And ladies, if you're married, you have to be a helpmeet to your husband. You have to care about your husband and the Lord.
Amen.
So it is difficult, but it's a blessing from God. And once again, neither is sin. Singleness or marriage, neither one is sinful, but we want to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And what a beautiful thing. When somebody's single and they devote their lives with all their heart to Jesus. And what a beautiful thing when two people are married and they're devoted with all their heart to the Lord and each other.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 36. Counsel to the virgins. If any man think that this is worded very strangely, I'm going to try to show you a couple of different ways it may be understood. But if any man think that he behaves himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity but has power over his own will, and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. There's at least three different ways that people understand this passage, and I'll try to cover them very quickly. One is, this is speaking of a father-daughter relationship. What it's saying is, you got to understand in those days, all the marriages were arranged. As a matter of fact, arranged marriages were the norm up until about the last 150 years. People going out and just marrying for love is a relatively new thing in the world. All around the world, in every different culture of the world, arranged marriages is the way that it was always done. A father of a daughter would make a covenant or contract with the father of a young man, and they would arrange the marriage to set a young couple together to get them married, okay? Everybody still with me? There was no farmersonly.com, nomatch.com. There's like 87 billion of them out there now, right? None of that was there. Christian Mingle didn't exist. There was no meeting somebody at work and hitting it off and going on dates. All of the marriages were arranged almost exclusively. That's the way that it was done. And I would just like to say we should bring that back. Where's the dads at? Daughter dads with me right now? Amen. We're going to bring it back, arranged marriages. Amen. See, Brother Mike is with me. We're going to bring it back. Bring it back. So these marriages were arranged. So the first way to understand this passage was that there was a father who had a daughter who was a virgin, who was unmarried, and she got old enough to get married. What Paul's saying, if it's okay if you allow her to get married. That's not sinful, but it's better if she stays single. So if it's in your heart and it's in her heart and you guys are in agreement and that's the way it needs to be, in other words, she's gifted to singleness and she's going to stay that way and devote her life to Christ alone and not get married, that's great. It's a good thing. But it's not wrong for her to get married. And you haven't sinned if you give your daughter away in marriage. So remember, in the context in that culture, these people are trying to figure it out. They just come out of all kinds of evil, wickedness, sexual perversion in their pagan idolatry, and they're trying to figure out the way God wants them to do stuff. And so a lot of them were saying, we're not getting married to anybody, and I'm not giving my daughter away to anybody. We're all just going to stay single. Well, that's not going to last very long, is it? If there's only, you can only go about one generation before that's going to fail, right? And so Paul's having to write to them and say, listen, if your daughter is of marrying age and you give her away, you haven't sinned against God. It's okay to give your daughters away in marriage. But it's also better for them to stay focused on God and live for Jesus. So he's just, again, it's the same thing. One is not sin. The other is not sin. You're going to have trouble with marriage, though. And so he's warning them about that. So it could be the father-daughter relationship. There's also a second interpretation. And a lot of this comes from some of the textual variants in the originals. And so just bear with me. Some of the translations even say this is betrothed. It doesn't say his virgin. It says his betrothed. So the idea, the second idea, is it's not a father-daughter relationship, but this is a man and his, what we would call fiancé. So this would be written to somebody like, you remember when Joseph was betrothed to Mary before they came together, before they were married? You guys remember that? Okay, so somebody in that condition. So a man who is betrothed to a woman, he has a fiance, but maybe he got saved after they were engaged, and he's trying to decide, should I go ahead and marry her, or is it better for me to break it off? So he's trying to figure that out. And it could be that verses 36 to 38 is talking to that man. And if he feels like he should marry her, he hasn't sinned by marrying her, but if he feels like it's better that they stay single, then that's good too. Okay, so it could be father-daughter, it could be man and his fiance. Both choices are favorable and honorable. Some people have even put it out there that it's talking about himself. If a man's never been married and he's trying to decide, should I get married or should I stay single, and it's just dealing with that. The text doesn't really bear that out. So here's the point, though. Marriage is good. But Paul says singleness is better if it's chosen freely for God. Amen. Singleness is better, but only if you freely choose to stay single and you're doing it for God's sake. Singleness isn't better if you're just doing it for pride or any other reason, but singleness is better if you choose it freely, and you're doing it for the Lord. So counsel to people who aren't married yet. It's good for you to stay single if God's gifted you to that. But it's not sinful if you get married. Okay? Verse 39. How long is marriage to last? Till death do us part. Isn't that what we say? Something like that. As long as we both shall live. Isn't that the way it goes? I wish so bad that Skeeter and Callie were here. Started to give them their vows yesterday, and they were so nervous. Neither one of them wanted to be up in front of people. They told me, please keep it as short as you can. I'm like, we're going to have to do something. Like, it's going to have to be something. And so I started. Skeeter, do you take Callie to be your wife? I do. Hold on, I'm not done yet. And so we went through the rest of the vows. And I said, okay, now. He's like, I do. I'm like, all of that or just the first part? Listen, we go through those vows, and part of those vows are, as long as you both shall live. Marriage is a lifelong commitment. In verse 39, the Bible says, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also I have the Spirit of God. So here's what Paul says at the end. The wife is bound to her husband as long as she's alive. Ladies, this is not a license to kill. Yeah, I know you were. Try to anticipate the questions ahead of time. This is not saying, wives, kill your husbands, and then you can marry whoever you want to. That's not what it's saying. Marriage is binding until death. Death, here's the point. Death, not dissatisfaction, is the end of the covenant. Death, not dissatisfaction, ends the covenant. If you are a widow, you are free to remarry, but only in the Lord. What does that mean? At the very baseline, somebody who is in Christ. Amen. At the very baseline, it's saying you can only remarry somebody who is in the Lord, somebody who's saved. But I think it goes beyond that. Not just somebody who's saved, but somebody who is in the Lord's will for your life. Not just any Christian guy you can find out there, but the one that God wants you to marry. Amen. So you're free to marry. Neither one is sin. But Paul says, and I think really in light of the circumstances, there's just so much positive things the Bible says about marriage to think that he's just trying to wipe away all of it. In light of their present condition, in light of the circumstances the church at Corinth was living in at that time, she would be happier if she remained single. Now, you can interpret that. You can pray that out. You can study it out for yourself. I just know this. Marriage is good. Amen. And it's honorable in the sight of God. Amen. And I know this. He walks through all of these things, how we live in marriage. Marital duties are mutual. They're sacred. Divorce among believers is forbidden. Mixed marriages, if a saved person is married to an unsaved person, you should do everything you can to preserve that. But if you're put away, if they leave you and you can't reconcile, you're not bound in that. So Paul extends beyond fornication to a believer being put away by an unbeliever. You're free in that circumstance. He says that marriage is lifelong. It goes on until death. Remarriage is permitted after death, but only if it's in the Lord. And both marriage and singleness are gifts, and each of them comes with unique benefits and burdens. So you better, like everything you do in your walk with Jesus, count the cost. Count the cost. Both are a blessing from God. And our time here is short, so let's be sure that we live for Christ first and always. We live for Christ first and always, remembering eternity. Amen. Eternity is just a breath away. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time in the Word, and I pray that you'll bless your Word in spite of me, that you'll make the truth clear in everyone's hearts and minds, that we would understand it, that we would apply it to our lives, that those who are married, our marriages would be a beautiful picture of you and your church, that we would our homes would be filled with your grace, with love, unconditional love, sacrificial love, that our homes would be filled with mercy, kindness, and forgiveness as you've shown to us, and that our homes would just be a picture of grace and a reflection of grace that you've given to us. For those who are single, that if they're supposed to stay single, you'll give them grace in that singleness, that you'll bless them and help them to use that whatever state they're in for your glory. And those who are not married yet but will be married, that you will guide them, that the right person would come into their life at the right time according to your perfect will, and that you would work all things out for your good and your glory. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll bless marriages, that you'll bless relationships, and you'll help. Lord, I know our enemy, the devil, hates marriage, and he hates our families, and he hates this church. So we pray for your protection. We pray for your help. We pray for your blessings. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.